This is my last shot at doing this this year, so I just want to one more time say thank you for having us out. It has been a great deal of fun to be here with all of you, and really especially with Todd and with Brad. Brad used to say of me in seminary that Steve is occasionally wrong, but never in doubt. I learned as much from Brad Creed about doing ministry as I did from anybody in all my years growing up, and he continues to be a gift to me. So this has been a really fun reunion. I've already talked to you about the special relationship that the Lord has given me with Todd over these last few years. I do have to tell y'all, though, I've won. Someone came up to me today and said, I probably shouldn't say this, but you're my favorite between you and Brad and Todd. You know, they're just so smart. Just a little under a year ago, there was a little storm called Harvey. And it took off from Mexico as a Category 1 hurricane and made its way due north. And it seemed like overnight, it became a Category 4. It made ground at Corpus Christi in Rockport, and it did something at least none of us had ever seen before. It made its way all the way inland, sort of Victoria, and turned back around for an encore performance, shot off to the east, and then came up through Houston, where it made a mess of things. At the church that I love, that's the South Main Baptist Church in Houston, we had 55 families that were flooded out of their homes. To give you a sense of context of what that has meant in our city for the last year, my wife Missy and I had a family who lived with us until June 30th. That's 10 months, and about typical of how long it took people to get their homes back in order. In fact, this family walked out of their house, which had flooded, and their neighbors were coming out of their house, and their neighbors had three small children. And our friends, members of our church, looked at them and said, it's okay, you can move in with our pastor. You can't make this up. This was a Jewish family. And we had to go get them by kayak to get them from their house and bring them back to our house. And then the dad had to go back to the house to get some supplies for the kids. And when he got to the house, his next-door neighbor, also Jewish, we live in a sort of Jewish enclave in Meyerland, his next-door neighbor was there, and they'd moved in with a Jewish family because their house had just flooded. He said, where are you staying? He said, I'm staying with a Baptist minister. And he said, how on earth did that happen? And he said, I kid you not, I was walking out the front door of our house and I said, Jesus, take the wheel. That is an absolutely true story. They were with us about a week, and then our friends moved in. We're there the next 10 months. Almost as soon as the water began to recede, we have the city divided into sectors for just such an occasion as this. We have Google Docs with sector captains and people who volunteered in the past, people who have construction skills, and we began organizing those folks. People began calling into the church to say, my house flooded, or I need help, or I can't get out of my house, or we need help with our children. We had 200 volunteers within hours who were out cutting sheetrock and carpet and picking wood floors up out of houses and replacing or pulling out cabinets and all of the kind of work you need to do in that moment. My favorite story, and Golda, I hate to give credit to the Episcopalians for this, but this is the best thing that happened in that first day. It was at Christ Church Cathedral. It's the Episcopal Church in downtown Houston. Like we, they have the city divided into sectors. They have sector captains. People call in. You figure out how many houses you can do in a day, and then you reserve the rest for the next day. And a woman called the church. She was 65 years old. She was a member of the cathedral congregation. She lived in an apartment by herself, and her apartment had flooded several feet deep. She was in a panic. They had a crew scheduled to be at her apartment the next morning at 8 o'clock. And she said, can you send someone right now? And a volunteer, just a church member answering the phone, said, no, you're set up for tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be fine. She said, you don't understand. My landlord just came by, and he said, if I don't have everything out of the apartment by 5 o'clock this afternoon, I forfeit my security deposit. And if I don't have my security deposit, I can't afford to move anywhere else, and I can't possibly get this stuff out. Can someone come today? And the woman on the phone was cool. She understood it was a crisis, and every story has two sides, and it couldn't possibly be that bad. She said, let me call your landlord. So she called the landlord. He said, sure enough, 5 o'clock or she loses her security deposit. This woman said, oh, you've made a mistake. He said, how do you figure? She said, you think because this woman is 65 years old and single and that she lives by herself, that she's alone, so you can take advantage of her. But she's not alone. She's a member of Christ Church Cathedral. And we have 3,000 members. And every one of us is standing behind her. And we have a lot of lawyers. And our lawyers are chomping at the bit to come after somebody who's taken advantage of a 65-year-old single woman. So let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to send a crew in the morning. They're going to muck out your ruined apartment. They're going to get everything out of her apartment. They'll put it on the curbside for you like the city said to. And you're going to show up with a deposit check in your hand for the full amount of her deposit. And with a smile on your face, you're going to hand it to her or you won't believe what happens next. In Houston, we call that church. That few days after the hurricane, it's the consummate picture of the church for me. Sometimes you are the one who helps. And sometimes you are the one who weeps. And sometimes you just get to be in a place that celebrates, you just get to celebrate being in a place that cares for people. And all the time you know, you are not alone. Our contract this week is, we started with what's right. And what's right is this: you are here in the world because the sovereign King of the universe believes that the world is better with you in it. God wants to be in a relationship with you. And he set the world up so that every day is a reminder that every one of us lives by grace. When things go wrong from what is right, what do? 3 things. We listen to God in the scripture, and from cover to cover, the scripture says, you can begin again. We seek God in prayer. We ask and seek and knock. And we reach out, and we take care of each other. And that's what I want to think with you about tonight. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it to the 2nd chapter of Mark's gospel? We'll start together in verse 1. The gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And there the scripture says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And Jesus preached the word to them. And some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by unroofing the roof and then lowered the mat down on which the man was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, arise, take your mat, go home. And he arose, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is the word of the Lord. Don't you feel grateful? So Jesus has just gotten back home from this preaching tour in the surrounding communities. I don't know if you knew that Jesus had a home. Foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head, except apparently this house in Capernaum. Capernaum means in Hebrew, Kephar Nahum, the village of comfort. I don't know if it strikes you, but I just think it's a beautiful thing that the one who came, comfort my people, says your God, the one who came to comfort us by taking away our sins and who promised to send us a comforter to be with us forever, set up shop in the village of comfort. But that is what he did. He went to his own house. When he got back, word spread in town that he was back, and the people thronged to the house, lots of people. And he walked inside, and they came inside with him, and they filled the outer courtyard. The whole place was full, and so Jesus sat down, and he began to preach the word to them. Now, that same morning, there were a set of people in Capernaum who needed comfort, but they weren't part of the crowd. Yet, there was a paralyzed man. He had no way of getting there himself. When I was growing up in Lubbock, we used to say, if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know he had help getting there. Sometimes, all you can do is wait for help to come. Some days, we need to be carried. And he had a group of friends. And they carried him in their hearts. And one of them said, if we could just get Buddy to Jesus, Jesus would heal him. They had this abiding hope in the power of Jesus to heal. And they let that hope handle their planning. Now the thing is, we have no idea what the paralyzed man thought about this. He doesn't seem to have any kind of vote. Did he say, I want to get to Jesus, would you carry me? Did he say, would you just leave me right here? I don't want to go anywhere. We don't know. They just picked him up and carried him. What we do know is that these friends let their hope move from their heart to their hands. And they carried him to Jesus' home. But when they arrived, they couldn't get in. There was this impenetrable thicket of people around the house. So plan A was out. We just can't take him to Jesus. But they're determined. Hope does that to you. They have this sense, if we could just get him to Jesus. So they climbed up on the roof of the house like you do. Can you see that scene in your mind's eye? Jesus is sitting in his own living room and he's teaching, and the room is filled with people. And then suddenly there's like sawdust drifting down in the light, breaking through the rays. And he looks up and a whole hunk of the roof comes up. And in my mind's eye, Jesus says, you know, I'm a carpenter. If I'd wanted a skylight there, there'd be a skylight there. I know you've heard this before. But to me, it is the most arresting and amazing line in all of the Gospels. Jesus saw their faith, and he said, son, your sins are forgiven. It's amazing. It's grace. The concrete embodiment of their faith is their daring action to bring their friend to Jesus. In those days following the hurricane, that was our experience everywhere we turned. Bill Moore taking his kayak and bringing two families to our house. Mary Corbin, who's only good for making sandwiches, just sat down and started making sandwiches. She thought, there are going to be several hundred people who need sandwiches. I think she made 1,000 before we called her and started sending them out to work crews. And we had some people who didn't have a need to cut out sheetrock. They just went and sat on the curb and cried with people. You know, sometimes that's as profound a ministry as you can have. I think about that here when we come to Paisano, the number of people who just exercise their faith so that you and I can get up in the morning and there's food ready because the Lacey family's been running the cook shed for how long is that? Or John Elliott, who, if you don't know it, has been running the day camp for a little while now, but a mantle passed this year. And John, we're praying like Elisha, that it's a double portion that comes to you. And you need to know it's yours. We know it's yours. It is yours to vision and shape and design and do exactly the way that your dad always did it, or do it the way that you think it always ought to have been done, or discovered something along the way. But generation after generation of children come to this place and you have coffee and reunion and sitting down and enjoying time because you know good and well your kids are safe with John and a group of kids from First Baptist Midland who come here time after time after time to give their time to kids here. Or Holly Smith, who misses evening preaching every night, not because she wants to, but because she has your kids under her charge. It's a gift of her time and her faith with a team of people so that we can come into this place. Or Allison and Henry Clayton, who make the office work up front and bring in money and just graciously make sure that everything's set up for you. Or Bruce Lampert, who handles memorials and you more effectively than anybody I've heard in a long time. In 4 minutes, you preach the whole sermon, which is depressing to people like me. Or Danny Reeves in the back of the room, without whom it would, but he makes all that okay. The thing is, I know all kinds of folks who volunteer their time out of a sense of selflessness. But when Christians do that, it's more than just altruism. We show up to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And it's not just carrying people to Jesus, although there's an element of that. It's making sure that people know that Jesus is with them wherever they are. I am so glad that in the rhythm of your life, you take a week to come here to Paisano and renew and recharge and rebuild relationships and just recenter. And I hope develop again healthy habits that will carry you through the year. And I hope you also know when you go back home, the same Jesus that was with you there before you left, the same Jesus who's with you here now, is going to be right there when you get back. Romans 4:13 says there is not a square inch in all of creation over which Jesus Christ does not say, that is mine. We bring people to Jesus. And we help them know that Jesus is with them in the midst of the mess. You don't have to go somewhere to be with Jesus. But sometimes somebody has to come to you so that you'll know that. Let me share an open secret with you. You are never more like Jesus than when you share. And there's always a need to share. And sharing always brings joy to Jesus. Jesus looked up at a hole in his roof and a new maintenance problem that he's just developed. And when he saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. And that action prompted Jesus to act, to forgive, to heal, to redeem, to reclaim. It's amazing to me that Jesus forgave the man because of the faith of his friends. Look, as much as I know, I'm as good a Baptist as anybody in the room. As much as I know, we have to personally receive the invitation from Jesus to salvation. I'm a believer in believer's baptism and regenerate church membership. And as much as I want to believe that I have lived by my faith and my wits and my gifts, I also know I have been carried. St. Augustine says, you have been a paralytic inwardly. And you did not take charge of your bed. Your bed took charge of you. None of us gets through life entirely on our own. Each of us has been broken at points in life. Every one of us has felt the shame of not being able to handle the pain or the embarrassment or the, you fill in the blank. Every one of us has been paralyzed by something in life. What is it that shames us so that we're afraid to ask for help? We need people who love us to carry us. We need people who love Jesus to bear our burdens with us. We need people who love us to bring us into the presence of the risen Christ. I have been carried. And someday I'll need to be carried again. And you and I both know people who need to be carried today. And when we have been healed, we are supposed to help. We're supposed to bring Jesus, bring people to Jesus who is the source of our healing, to let the gospel that has happened to us happen through us. You are going to go home in the next day or two or three or however long it is before John Frost kicks you out of here. And my prayer is going to be that when you go home, you go home to help someone else, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world, that the strength and the reserve and the renewal that you've experienced here makes its way out there, because how we care for other people matters to God. There are times when God looks at us in the moments of our crises through the faith of our friends. You remember what Cain asked God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The answer is yes. And if you missed it in Genesis, hear it in 1 John. If you do not love your brother whom you have seen, you cannot love God whom you have not seen. Or hear it from the mouth of Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Let me tell you a story about a fellow who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Who was the neighbor? Jesus said, when we do God's will, we become a family in Jesus, brothers and sisters to one another. And I take that to mean that when we do God's will, it's not just the paralyzed man who was changed by the faith that was in action. It was all of those who carried him. It's all of us who act to help who are changed. We learn to love God by living out God's love for one another. I'm going to tell you right now, the church you're going to go back home to will be a different church if you allow yourself to be a changed person. If you let hope lead, if you let hope get from your heart to your hands as you look to your brothers and sisters, we will be transformed by God's love and we'll offer that love to one another. We're supposed to be helpers. The kind of folks who would struggle up on top of a roof and dig out a hole and let a friend down. The kind of folks who would layer a lasagna or hold a crying baby or visit a sick person or mow the neighbor's yard or help the person at work. Who go out of our way to demonstrate our faith in practical ways. We are never more like Jesus than when we share. And when we share not only the gospel of God, but our very lives as well. When we carry our sisters and brothers in need, we embody the work of Jesus in the world. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Knowing that we could not save ourselves, he came to us. He forgave us. He saved us. Is it possible that their faith in Jesus, their faith that prompted them to carry their friend, so transformed their own lives that the Lord Christ saw their friend through their eyes? Is it possible that bearing one another's burdens is the key to becoming more like Jesus Christ? Is that what Paul calls fulfilling the law of Christ? You're never more like Jesus than when you share. And we are never closer to Jesus than when we allow ourselves to be carried in our need. Jesus came to give us life. Jesus does not look with disdain on our pain and our woundedness and our sinfulness. That's why he came. Jesus receives us in love, and that love saves us, heals us, restores us. It is incredible. He saw their faith and said, "Your sins are forgiven." That is what the church does. Sometimes you are the one who helps. Sometimes you are the one who weeps. Sometimes you just get to celebrate being in a place that cares for people. And all the time you know, you are not alone. Jesus is with you. In the hands and feet and the hearts and hugs of the people who love him and who show up in his name. Well, would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, you have poured into us this week. We're the beneficiaries, the glad beneficiaries of this sacred space. We pray that what you have fed us with this week in your word will strengthen us for your work as we go out. Lord, as we're about to share your supper and we're reminded that we have been fed with holy food, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, remind us there are those around us who need to be carried. And give us the strength to call out when that's us. For we do ask it in Jesus' name, who carried us, who heals our infirmities, who loves us. And all God's people said, amen.